Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show, founded to increase the national awareness of black women in the construction industry. NABWIC is the charge and takes the charge for black women to advocate for further opportunities to its members. Our mission as a core foundation is to strengthen the building blocks of new educational, entrepreneurial, professional, and social network connections. The vision of NABWIC is to build long-lasting strategic partnerships with first-rate organizations and individuals that will provide groundbreaking and innovative solutions for black women in construction and their respective communities. We invite you to call or text or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments.
Well, good morning, and welcome to NABWIC's Blog Talk Radio with your host, Jackie Perry, CEO of J. Perry & Associates, and the National Chair for Marketing and Communication. Today is a wonderful Wednesday, and we are very, very excited to have with us as our special guest a young man who is a young man on the move, and one who is making a tremendous impact in his community, in his business, and in the lives of entrepreneurs he touches. So let me just tell you a little bit about Mr. Jason Cole, who is the executive director of the Michigan Minority Contractors Association, formerly known as NAMC. He's also executive director of the Real Estate Investor Association, Detroit chapter. Now, Jason wears many hats. He's also the facilitator of the National Association Minority Consulting Engineers Detroit chapter and the Detroit Association of Planners. Additionally, he is a collaborator with the National Organization of Minority Architects and the Detroit Association of Realtors. Jason has over 15 years in the commercial development, construction, and real estate industries. Formerly with the Small Business Administration, Jason operated as a successful entrepreneur, having served as Vice President of Cole Financial Services, Inc. from 1988 through 2008. Jason's background and expertise includes HR, accounting and finance, marketing and sales, commercial real estate lending, and investment. His certification includes being a BOMA facilitator instructor, and a CFS commercial lender. Now, Jason is very active in the community and is involved with numerous associations, and some of those include the Real Estate Investor Association of Detroit, Construction Association of Michigan, Society of Marketing Professionals, Building Owners Management Association, and many, many more. I could go on and on, but I'm going to stop. And we want to just take this moment and welcome Jason Cole to NABWIC's Blog Talk Radio and let him tell you a little bit more about himself. So good morning, Jason, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jackie.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. It's weird to hear other people talk about you, so that was an out-of-body experience. But I would say you did really well with the bio, so thank you. Hopefully that gives folks, your listeners, an understanding of kind of my walk in life and all the things you have to do to get prepared to go through an undertaking like launching the Detroit chapter of the National Association of Black Women in Construction.
Well, that's wonderful. And we're really, really excited about that, and we want to hear more about that as well. But first, even though I did give our listeners an opportunity to hear your many accolades, all the associations you're involved with, and the organizations you led, tell us just a little bit more about your background and how did you get started on this journey? I mean, again, you're so entrenched in many things that have to do with the construction industry, but how did this all get started?
Oh, okay. So we'll go back to 1982. I was a 12-year-old kid on the west side of Detroit, and my mother got the notion to start her own business. So I was the first record keeper. Weirdly enough, I was in school in junior high. High school at that point, taking record keeping classes, so it just kind of timed out really well. And her firm was a project management firm assisting in the designing and building of airports and wastewater treatment plants. So that's initially where I got my start, just working in a family business. I then went on to a vocational technical school here in Detroit called Randolph, named after Philip A. Randolph. Or A. Philip Randolph, over on the west side of Detroit again, and got some more specialized training. And it's really a construction school, but I was actually upstairs learning accounting and computers, which actually I probably use more than hands-on construction. Doing odds and ends in the construction space. My family business grew to the point that it ended up owning an office building in downtown Detroit in 1993, and I had to put up walls, tear down walls, sign leases, put in windows, pipes, electrical stuff. So it later came on that I got hands-on construction experience. And at one point, I lived in Orlando, Florida in 2002 and worked for a company called Future Plumbing. So I've actually laid pipe. We built some new houses in a Windermere outside of Orlando. So, yeah, I've got dirty. I've been clean. But all of those things prepared me for what I plan to undertake now.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that background, and quite an interesting one, too. So it's really no surprise that you ended up where you are and have been so successful, having come from a family of entrepreneurs and having got all that hands-on training. That's wonderful. And then such a variety of trades and skills that you were able to pick up along the way that helped you. And even though you had that kind of background, Jason, sometimes it doesn't mean that people stay in the field in which maybe they grew up or they're trained. So let me ask you another question. It is more about the why of what you do. So in your present role, in fact, before I ask you that question, let's talk about where you are now. Tell us about your current role and what you do to help others.
Okay. So in describing my current role, I'm going to take a step back and talk about my past. So mm-hmm. I was a member or a follower within about 20 different organizations, primarily around construction, but some of it went into airports and sales. But at the end of the day, you got to be a good follower before you can become a leader and have an understanding of Robert's rules and really why people put butts in seats on a monthly basis to hear a message on a continual. So I am now a leader of directly of two organizations. I collaborate with two other young ladies, and then I also work with two other organizations. So my plate is full at kind of at that leadership level. But I'm actually a member of four or other organizations, just as a guy who has to listen. So that's where things get a little tricky, because you're normally the leader, and now you got to be a follower. So that's fun most days of the week. And the best thing I would tell anyone who was thinking about leading an organization is be a good follower. Keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
Now, that is some really, really good advice. And as our listening audience, which there are plenty on the line right now, are listening, they probably got some questions going through their minds. So we just want them to be aware that they can press one on their telephone at any time if they have a question. So, Jason, you mentioned not only are you a follower, but you're a collaborator, and certainly you do lead in those organizations that you're in charge of. What's the why behind what you do? Why do you spend the time to help others? Why do you spend the time to collaborate with others, and why is that so important?
So two reasons. One, I have a mental dysfunction because and I say that in jest, but at the beginning and ending of most days, you have self-preservation in mind. And I possess something, weirdly enough, called groupthink. So I think on behalf of a group, which would include a roofer all the way down to my foundation masonry guy. So that's a little weird. Not everybody possesses that. So I realized that early on, again, being part of 20 other organizations before starting my own, it just innately is inside of me. The other thing is there is this preconceived notion that African-Americans as a community can't work together. So I'm here to dispel that myth, and I've been working earnestly at that for now close to 10 years. I can honestly say when I started this back in late 07, beginning of 08, we weren't doing that. And now I have architects working with contractors, and some of those lunch meetings I actually pay for out of my own pocket to get them to design build. Because the next group of folks are already on to something called P3. So I'll probably be the first person who looks like myself in the Detroit local area who will be talking about P3 at a smaller level. Mainly P3, which is called public-private partnership. It's talked about on a road project that's billions of dollars. I'm going to be talking about P3 and just getting an apartment building built at $2 million. So that'll be new for Detroit, and hopefully I can take that nationwide very shortly. But at the beginning and end of the day, I just think on behalf of the group, and then one of my driving forces is let me help another individual who looks like myself, and I should be able to then have some self-preservation in helping others.
Thank you for sharing that. Not everyone thinks that way. Again, that,
no.
That spirit of collaboration and that spirit of partnership and helping others. Talk about, Jason, because you do, and again, you've got such a varied background, you've got such a varied skill level and a lot of tools in your toolkit and a lot of things that you can do to help people. I'm sure, again, you act not only as a collaborator and a connector, but as a mentor to others as well. Tell us a little bit about the impact that you had on others as a result of all of that. What kind of change have you seen in our business, maybe in a specific entrepreneur or in the community?
So I start closest to home. Back in 1983, my mother started her business. I was still in school. And when I joined her organization in 1988, she was doing about $300,000 in sales. I kind of figured out the business model, put a little lighter fluid on it, and then we grew that to about $3.2 million on a consistent basis to the point that we were able to buy not one building, but two buildings in downtown Detroit, which was unheard of. You can, there's a report that you can actually, if you know my whole name, you can Google that and you can see that in present day. I didn't just make that up. The other thing that I was I have been able to do is remove roadblocks from folks. So normally there is a person, an amount of money, and a piece of paper that is keeping you from achieving your next goal in life. And normally I know how to put my hands on one of those three things, if not two of those three things. So that's been very beneficial for folks. I tell the story recently, picking up a young man from his parents' home. And he was on a bike at one point, and spent about four Sundays with him, kind of rejiggering his business model, and to the point where he was able to move out of his parents' house, get a car, and take care of that 5'10" girlfriend that he had, and his life got better. Yeah, his life got better.
Well, thank you for those examples, and I'm sure there are plenty more. There are plenty more. But listen, what we're going to do, we're going to just very briefly pause for a commercial break. We're going to hear a little bit more about the NABWIC organization, our goals and mission. But when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more with Jason Cole. He's going to be talking about the construction arena because he has so much experience in that arena. He's going to be giving us some suggestions and advice in terms of when do you get into the construction arena? What are some of those best opportunities? And, again, talking a little bit more about collaboration that's so important. So right now we'll go to a commercial, and if, again, there are any questions, we'll be able to get to those when we come back.
We are so excited to have you listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction Blog Talk Radio Show. Please call, text, or email family, business associates, or friends and tell them that we are on the air right now. Or they can join us on the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC or by phone at 714-459-3918 and press 1 to join our conversation with questions or comments. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Don't forget to follow us by liking our page and post your questions or comments. NABWIC's intent is to always go into the high schools and colleges to encourage our young black girls and women to enter into the construction industry and to take interest into the STEM programs that are offered. We encourage you to listen to this show or past shows on the internet by logging in at www.blogtalkradio.com/NABWIC. Thank you, and we're back.
We're back with Jason Cole. Anyway, we do have a question from one of our callers on the line. 786 is the area code. Go ahead, caller. You're live and on the air.
Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping to build stronger and better communities and lives. Good morning, Jason. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Ann, and yourself?
Sir, if I were any better, Jason, I'd be you.
Oh, boy.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. I've been following your conversation and in the interview this morning, and it's been very inspiring. Learned a lot about you. My question is, how did you come about having an interest in the National Association of Black Women in Construction and the desire to start a chapter in your area, please?
Yeah. Oddly enough, I came from a woman, and she happened to be in the construction space. And initially was part of the board of the Detroit Black Women Contractors Association. And unfortunately that disbanded and felt that the ladies in the space get faced with both racism and sexism. I said, hey, let me, you know, extend an olive branch and help them out. I just recently helped out two young ladies. One a planner, the other a engineer, start their own organizations just as the facilitator. So it was that same premise. We found someone to step up in the leadership role, and what I wanted to do was make sure you guys were part of the conversation because I had recently attended a the other women in construction organizations meeting. I was like, hey, there's still something that's still needed. So just out of need, you know, it's always the mother of invention. So I said, hey, let me step up, reach out to you, and then one of your collaborators or partners here in the Detroit area, Edna Bell. I actually have worked for her. I've supported her as she ran for office and now her daughter. So had a great relationship there, and I was like, hey, this is too easy now. So that's where that came from, necessity and making sure that no one was overlooked in the conversation as The city of Detroit spends a great deal of money on rebuilding itself, probably going back as far, but past the race riots of 67, probably the 50s at this point, because we just got some horrible infrastructure and we just got to fix a lot of problems.
So then you know that she was part of our founding of the organization, actually.
I found that out by having a conversation with you. I actually was not aware of that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you. Thank you so much. I'll go back on mute. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Ann, for your question.
So for those women who are on the call, many of them already are in the construction industry or in some related trades. We're making progress, but there's still some barriers that we have to overcome. For women who might be thinking, this arena is not the place for me, I need to start thinking about getting out or thinking in some different arena, what would you say is the reason why the construction arena is a good place to be in today's marketplace?
Oh, excellent question. So the timing is right. I would say from 2008 through 2012, things were really, really slow. We were in the doldrums of construction. A lot of things had just been put on maintenance, and no new building was taking place. And here locally in Detroit, I tell people that nationally we're going to spend about $1.2 trillion in construction spending nationwide, but locally in Detroit we'll get about $10.5 billion of that. And in monthly meetings we kind of go through, you know, what's that $10.5 billion look like, and everything is going to be either repaired or replaced. And you're also seeing the people behind the scenes really working in a collaborative way that I have not seen, and I've been in this industry since 1988. So it's a new day, as folks say, and that's not just some kind of coined phrase. That's really real for me, as I sit in countless meetings. I'm probably in 30 meetings a month, and it doesn't matter if it's political or foundational or at the community level. Everybody is kind of singing from the same hymnal, like this is a new day for Detroit, and we don't want to miss this opportunity for everyone to participate. So it's just a great time to be in construction in Detroit.
Thank you, Jason. And I imagine that would be the same for other cities across this nation as well. And let me ask one other question, too. Collaboration, mentoring, and connecting with organizations like NABWIC is really important for women in construction, especially as they're looking to start their careers as an entrepreneur, and then as they're looking to grow. So besides collaborating, mentoring, and, again, being a part of organizations like NABWIC, what other resources would you suggest for women who are, again, seeking to advance themselves in the construction arena?
So there's a couple of things that I would suggest. One, there's the National Center for Construction Education and Research, which gives you reports and white papers on what's going on within the industry from an education and training perspective. And then I think we just picked up a couple, and I want to say $2 to $3 million from the Chase Bank around women in business. So there's money, there's a pot of money for just entrepreneurs, and then they'll break that out by sectors. But they just recently announced last Wednesday or Thursday, because I was there, that they're going to put some more money in specifically for women-owned businesses. And then you have some for entrepreneurs of color. So everybody's got like little silos of money, but at the end of the day, you add all that up. So now I got money, I got some training, and now I just need an opportunity. And the other thing you're going to see, the federal government has a 5% goal for women-owned business. So you kind of put those things together, and then that helps, as a black woman in construction, you achieve a greater goal, because the playing field is not being leveled. It's just, hey, we need to put in some lines and some bases because these ladies are here and they're not going anywhere and they're not taking no for an answer. So it's the timing is good. The collaborative nature of what I'm doing, being, again, I work with a woman to launch a planners association, another woman to launch a engineers association, and then the architects were already together, and those linkages create economic opportunity. And at the end of the day, it's nice to say that, hey, I sat in, you know, 20 meetings and I advocated on your behalf. What you really want to see is the economics reach your own pocket. So that's kind of how I work. Hopefully the rest of the chapters across the nation are doing the same. But yeah, if you start with the economics, you can get the rest of the picture together. So.
Exactly. Thank you, Jason. And we have one other caller on the line. They are going live now. The last four digits of their phone number is 7528. If you can go ahead, caller, you're live on the air.
Good morning, Jason. This is Deborah Thompson out of Jacksonville, Florida, but I am currently in Atlanta. I'm the national president of the National Association of Black Women in Construction, and I welcome you to our Blog Talk radio show. I was in Detroit in September and got a chance to go around and look at some of the areas, and I noticed that, and I was told that the mayor has a goal of demolishing dilapidated properties in the area. So I did see that a lot of older homes, old houses that were vacant have been vacated. Are you looking to help rebuild those neighborhoods, or what is the plan for Detroit in the neighborhoods of Detroit, or how are they going to be a part of the reconstruction of that area?
So most people, when you hear about Detroit, it's downtown and midtown, which is 7.2 square miles. But your question goes to the neighborhoods, which they finally started working on the first of this year. The demolition process was an ongoing thing. Now you're starting to, there's a new program they rolled out called Rehabbed Ready, which is in partnership with the Detroit Land Bank Authority and Quicken Loans. Which gets you to a guy named Dan Gilbert, who is kind of our financial savior of the city. So that's taking place in the neighborhoods are Bagley and Quarry, St. Mary's, and Rosedale Park, and Palmer Park actually just got seven buildings rehabbed by a young lady and her husband. So you're starting to see block by block reinvestment and redevelopment at the neighborhood level, which I can honestly say has not been done in several decades. So one part demolition, so that's tearing it down. The other part is rehabbing. And then I would say in 2016, you're going to see about 500 new homes built in Detroit. And they already started. One place is actually down the street from our office, called Orleans Landing. The next new building is Ducharme Place, which is in the community I live in, called Lafayette Park. And then up the street from there in Brush Park, you've got a building that's called the Scott. And those are apartments. The other two are condos and apartments. But the Scott is actually owned by an African-American. So, and directly across the street from the Scott is called the Mondrian, which, again, apartments, but owned by an African-American. So you're seeing us involved at the ownership level, at the investment level, at the construction level, at the design level. There's a gentleman by the name of Rainey Hamilton of Hamilton Anderson Architects. He gets a whole host of work. He's former past president of NOMA and the National Organization of Minority Architects. So we're getting involved at every level.
Thank you, Jason. And how does a person like myself, a contractor out of the state, get involved in your local activities? Do we have to register as a vendor with the city of Detroit, or how does that process roll out?
Okay. So if you were operating your business in another state, you would first stop by our state capital or state administration and do a foreign corporation status. Then you would then start working on certification, be it HUD Section 3 or woman-owned or minority status. with the city or the county. We're in the county of Wayne. And then you would go set up some partnerships. And it doesn't matter if it's hospitals or schools or bridges and highways to houses. We're actually doing a little bit of everything, and it's going to get very shortly a lot of bit of everything.
Do you help with the facilitation of these partnerships if an individual wanted to come into your area?
I have been known to
assist. Who do we go to for that?
Yeah, you could speak to me. You could speak to the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council, the Michigan Black Chamber. There are several organizations that are good entry points. But if you're looking specifically in the construction space, I'm probably your best bet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great question.
All right, and thank you for that question, Deborah. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. We are actually out of time. Jason, we want to thank you for being on the show, and we've got to bring you back again. Jason's contact information, Jason, will you tell us how the best way to reach you if folks need to reach out to you immediately, either with a question or some follow-up?
Yes, the best way to reach me is by my cell at area code 313-384-3337.
And Jason, thank you again for being on the show. We really appreciate all the inspiring insights and all the information that you provided. Stay tuned next week when we'll have Jason back on the show again, and he'll be talking about a specific program that is relevant for women, contractors of all races, and actually of all genders. So you don't want to miss that this time next week at 8:30. Thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jackie.
This concludes our show. Thank you for listening to NABWIC, the National Association of Black Women in Construction. For more information about NABWIC and our membership, please visit us on the web at www.nabwic.org. We are the voice of Black women in construction. Have a great and prosperous day.
Now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the GEICO app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the GEICO app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.